Maniacs, welcome back to another episode of Guardians of the MCU. This is episode number 15. We are recording this on September 5th, 2018. You know me as Qui-Gon Tim, and joining me this week is John. How are you tonight, John?
I am excellent. How are you, Tim?
I'm well. I'm doing good. I'm rested from Dragon Con.
Why did you leave Liz at Dragon Con?
You know what? She never showed up. Not like she didn't like ditch me. Her car broke down. And fortunately not on the trip. It broke down a couple days prior to the trip. So particularly given the cost of repairs, although actually she's not even repairing it. She declared it dead. And so she decided to not go through the expense of coming up to Dragon Con, which was probably smart. But it was too bad, because Dragon Con was a darn good time. And I'm going to talk a little bit later about some of the MCU-related stuff that I took in at Dragon Con. So that's that. So we do have a little bit of an announcement here, not so much for the network, but for the show. John, remember we were running a contest, right?
Tim, it's done.
It's done?
It's done.
Oh.
We made a request to the listeners. They followed through. Hey, listeners, when we were offering to tattoo Tim, you didn't follow through. But for a Blu-ray, apparently they like Blu-rays more than a tattooed Tim.
I think this proves that we have great listeners who are smart, and they use some common sense, and they can be bribed.
Yes.
Which is, I'm down with it. I mean, it's not, you know, some people think that's a real negative thing. I'm totally down with that. So
No.
So, yeah, we actually, we did get our five written reviews. There were actually even a number more folks that, you know, just clicked on the stars. They didn't write anything. They just clicked on the stars, though, which is still cool. I mean, we definitely appreciate that. I mean, that helps. But the written stuff is absolutely awesome. And so we did get five written reviews in, and that was kind of the magic number we wanted to get to for this giveaway of Guardians of the Galaxy 2. Again, that's a 4K Blu-ray digital copy. And John, did you get a chance to see these like really awesome reviews that people left us?
I did, and very touching.
Yeah.
And truly do mean that, because when I tell people, pull the curtain back a little bit, when I tell people, you know, hey, I co-host a podcast, they ask, well, you know, how many people listen? And my answer always is, I have no idea. But Tim probably knows. But, you know, I'm not privy to that. And it's, you know, we do it, you know, because, you know, we enjoy it. We have fun doing this kind of thing. I think all of the hosts are that way. We're fans. And, you know, then when you see actually people put pen to paper and write down how they feel, you know, about the show and that they enjoy it, it is very touching to think, one, people are listening, and two, they actually enjoy, you know, what Tim, Liz, and I have to say. So it does, you know, not only does it help the podcast and the network, but at least for me, it means a lot.
Yeah. Yeah, it truly does. And I mean, people very clearly took some time to write out some well thought out things. So we'll kind of run through these quick just to kind of as a way of thanking the people who took time to write these in. And by the way, these were all five stars, so thank you also for that. The first one here is from Jen Lee, 1863.
That was an excellent year.
Yeah, sure. The title was A Nice Work Reprieve. I usually pop this podcast in my ear when work begins to hurt my brain. I've been there, my friend. I think we all have. It's a great place to catch up on all the latest news in the Marvel world for those of us who don't have time to consistently search the interwebs. The hosts provide solid points of view, both positive and negative, on topics while soundly justifying their reasoning to a point that I can relate to both sides. For the future, I'd like to see some guests on the show that are directly involved with the MCU so we could get some behind-the-scenes insight. Highly recommend, and it's a great de-stressor. Again, thank you very much for that. excuse me. The guest thing, yeah, we would absolutely like to have guests. There is one guest that I'm working on that I've recently asked to join us, and we'll see what happens. I think we have a pretty good chance of getting him on the show. I mean, I did ask Robert Downey Jr. He was over here for dinner last night, and we kind of got into a conversation about it. He's a little shy, surprisingly. Yeah, I mean, he didn't really want to do it.
James Gunn might be available.
James Gunn is probably available, but I don't think he can actually talk about MCU stuff right now.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, no, but legitimately, we absolutely would love to have guests on here. And it's a little difficult, obviously. I mean, we're not going to be getting like A-listers, but we will certainly be making some attempts to get folks who have something to do with it and can offer some insight on different things. And so that is a concerted effort. So we appreciate that feedback, and it is absolutely something that we're going to work on. John, do you want to read the next review?
Absolutely. And this is from littlesong_22. Great podcast. I love, capital L-O-V-E, this podcast. Love all of the Marvel commentary and insight into the MCU. I've been catching up all week, and I'm sad on the most current episode. Very excited to continue listening to future episodes. Thank you very much. I think we'd probably be a little bit more up to speed if I helped Tim out on the editing engineering side on the back end. So we will work to get these out a little bit more frequently for you.
Yeah. Let's see. The next one here comes from, and I'm not going to read off all of these digits, but it's me followed by a lot of zeros, a bunch of sevens, and a bunch of threes. They say, great Marvel podcast, great show. The hosts are hilarious. Hilarious. Who are they listening to?
Tim, you're doing improv now. You're hilarious.
Wow. Huh. Okay. And I love the updates on the Marvel Universe. I just wish they could get Tim to like Ant-Man. Yeah, good luck with that.
We all do. We all
yeah.
do.
Yeah. 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 Sure. Sure. Next one, John.
The next one is from Darth Spider X. Love the name. Fun podcast. Great podcast to hear news and discussion about the Marvel movies and TV shows. The hosts get along well and are easy to listen to. Definitely recommend to fans of the Marvel movies. You know, thank you. I think it is easy. I think we've hinted at that Tim and I have been friends for over 10 years now, and Tim and Liz have been friends for a number of years. So it makes it very easy when, yes, we are all our friends. And it's just half the time you forget there's a mic in front of you and you're just talking.
It's true. It's absolutely true. And it, you know, you can tell when you jump into certain podcasts where the people are kind of new to each other and it's a little awkward and weird. And you know, I mean, everyone has some bits of kind of awkwardness once in a while, but yeah, certainly when there's already established friendship and relationship, it's much easier to kind of navigate it. The last one we got here is from Chickafent, who has been a friend of the network for a while. I know they are a Patreon subscriber for us, so thank you for that. And regularly emailing to different shows and contacting us and stuff, so we very much appreciate that support. The title here is Marvel at the Fun of This Podcast. Ha ha, I like that. See what they did there, John?
I did. Very crafty. Very crafty.
I don't think you got it.
I did get it.
If you're looking for a fun and informative podcast about the Marvel Cinematic Universe, then you can stop looking because you found it. The primary hosts, John, Tim, and Lizzie, along with some occasional guest hosts from time to time, will entertain you with every episode. We're entertaining, John. They cover all things related to the MCU and even other topics of interest in a fun and friendly way, and they don't always agree on a topic of discussion. Give them a listen and you won't be disappointed.
My favorite thing about this review, and it's a little thing, is that she spelled my name right.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
J-O-N. It's like, a little thing.
Even your parents don't even spell your name right sometimes.
You know, I'm just happy they know who I am from time to time.
Yeah.
So, Tim, how are we going to reward these five people?
Well, they've been entered into our drawing. And so I put each of their names or at least their Apple IDs that they left the reviews in on a piece of paper. And put that piece of paper, you can hear him rattling around now, in a hat. You hear that, John?
I do. Can you hold it in front of the camera? Can you hold it in front of the camera for me? There you go.
It's actually it's a Mud Trooper hat. See?
Nice.
John, would you care to draw one of these?
Yes, hold on. Let me reach through the computer.
Oh, yeah.
That's awkward. That's awkward.
Problem, huh?
Yeah. Okay. I'm hitting the screen.
Yeah.
Tim, can you pick?
I suppose I could.
Okay.
Make sure they're all broken up here. It's right in front of the camera, so at least John can attest that it's being done fairly. See, there's pieces of paper falling, moving around, and I'm going to pick one now. And the winner. Can you drum roll for me, John?
I don't know. Is that coming through?
Yeah. Oh, absolutely. It's also kind of annoying. It was probably just as annoying as me tossing those things around in a hat. The winner of their very own copy of Guardians of the Galaxy 2 in 4K, Blu-ray, and digital is Chickafin.
Woohoo! Very nice.
So that's fantastic. Because I do have her contact information, I will reach out to her and we'll make this happen. We'll get it shipped out. So thank you, everyone. Who wrote in some things, and we did have some folks who didn't write things but just put the stars, and that's still cool too. We definitely appreciate that because that certainly helps. And folks, if you didn't get a chance to do it yet, we're still counting on you to keep doing it. Please leave us reviews. It's a great thing, and it very much supports us, and we appreciate it. So there it is. That was is the show done?
No, oh, we haven't really started.
Oh, okay. Oh, yeah, I guess like there's show notes, like a couple of pages of show notes.
Tim, we have to listen to the fans. They've asked for more.
They have asked for more. I think if we cut the episode short, like we would get some bad reviews. So.
No bad reviews.
Yeah, no, we don't want bad reviews. All right, so MCU news. Quick mention here, Black Panther came out on Netflix today. So if, you know, maybe you don't own it, but you do have Netflix, be sure to go watch it. Or even if you do own it and you have Netflix, now you can conveniently, like, you don't have to get up and put in a disc or anything like that. You can just click things on your remote or your iPad or whatever.
The funniest thing is that's what my son did today. He comes running out and he goes, "Dad, Black Panther's on Netflix." And I'm like, "Yeah, we own the Blu-ray." And he ran back in and started watching it on Netflix. And I'm like, why did I buy the Blu-ray?
There you go. Nothing wrong with that.
No, nothing wrong with it. I just found it very funny. That's the first thing he did.
So kind of some things here related to the James Gunn saga continue. Where was this interview? I'm reading the article off of IOL. Dave Bautista did an interview with somebody. I don't see who. Oh, the Jonathan Ross Show.
Yeah.
And so we all know that Guardians of the Galaxy 3 is kind of suspended or put on pause for a while until they presumably find a director for it. And so the discussion here that Dave Bautista had with them, and he said, obviously, you know, he says, "I'm not really happy with what they've done with James Gunn. They're putting the movie off. It's on hold indefinitely." And then he throws this little nugget in there. He says, "To be honest with you, I don't know if I want to work for Disney."
Yeah. That's not generally something you tell your bosses.
No, no. And of course, none of us know what the terms and conditions of their contracts are. I mean, he may say, I don't want to work for them, but he may very well be compelled to by way of his contract. You know, again, we don't know.
And I think he's, if I remember correctly, he's contractually obligated through Guardians 3.
Yes. As far as we know, he is. So, you know, we don't know what the penalty is for him breaking that contract if he decides to actually do that. I mean, certainly there's a difference between making a statement like that and actually not coming back.
I'm a Dave Bautista fan.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm a fan of his because I'm still loosely, partially, sometimes, infrequently a WWE fan.
Sure.
And so watching his career kind of progress through that, trying not to make Tim do any editing, it's time for him to or get off the pot. Like, these statements are great, and I'm really glad that he's defending James Gunn, but I'm also tired of reading every week him saying, I don't want to work for Disney, and speaking out against it. You don't hear some of the other actors and actresses being this vocal about it. Either do something about it, quit, or you've said your piece. I'm not sure what each week we're getting out of it. And to me, I don't even read the stories anymore. It's like, oh, Dave Bautista's pissed off about this. Okay. It's almost detracting from the story in my mind.
Yeah. I mean, it's a catch-22 thing because I'm glad that there are people. We have another item here coming up of someone else who is continuing to vocalize their displeasure with the whole situation. And I think that's great, but I think we also know at this point that Disney is not going to change their mind.
No.
Now, that said, I don't know. It's tough. I mean, like you said, people keep saying things, but they're not doing anything. But on the other hand, do we just kind of drop it and let it go and shrug our shoulders and say, Disney's Disney, they're going to do their thing, and that's it? And we kind of accept it, but then on the other hand, how long are we going to continue making statements about it? So, you know, I don't know. I don't know. That's a tough one. But interestingly enough, he did also mention in another interview that he has apparently for a while championed a Drax origin story on film. I mean, we know that Drax has an origin story in the comics, which is actually different than what they've told in the films. But because it actually is kind of an interesting story having to do with, what's the character's name? Ronan.
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah, yeah.
With Ronan killing Drax's family and all that stuff. I mean, it could be an interesting thing. I don't know that maybe it necessarily needs a feature-length film. I mean, if Marvel got into doing some kind of shorts or something, that could be interesting. You know, to give it a 20 or 30-minute treatment, I'm not quite sure. But, Dave Bautista said that he likes the character. He likes the backstory of this character, and he's been championing this idea for a while. And he even acknowledges that even if you don't put me in it, and I don't know that he's necessarily that particular part of the comment may or may not be associated with his displeasure with Disney. Mm-hmm. He might simply be saying, hey, you know, I acknowledge the fact that this is my character some number of years ago, so maybe it's not appropriate for me to play that. You know, maybe you get a younger actor or something like that. I don't know. I mean, Drax clearly was still an adult. He was married. He had a child. So just kind of throwing that out there for what it's worth. I don't think there's any possibility of that happening. I mean, Drax really isn't that big of a character, you know, like an Iron Man or Captain America or a Black Widow, that he's going to get his own standalone film, much less an origin story.
I would agree for a live action, but to me, especially with their streaming service coming out, this is a perfect, Tim, as you said, 30, 45 minute animated short.
Yeah.
The DCU has been very successful in their kind of standalone animated films that have explored a number of different, you know, comics, especially ones that you will probably never see live action. To me, this is a great way to kind of jump into it and make it 30, 45 minutes, throw it up on the network as added content. I think that's great. And I think it's a great way for them to explore some of these characters in a different medium, but still keeping it, quote unquote, within the MCU.
Yeah.
Which would be different because not all of their, I don't think any of their cartoons fall within the MCU. So it'd be a different kind of twist per se, but I think a great avenue for them to continue to build the universe out.
Oh, I agree. It's and we've talked about this a little bit before, and there's a lot of discussion in the Star Wars world of the different things that they are coming up with to build out the Star Wars universe on this Disney streaming service with both live action and animated stuff. And we really haven't heard anything from the Marvel side about that yet. So hopefully that is something we will start hearing about. You know, again, don't know if it's going to be a Drax origin story, but you know, we will hopefully be getting some good expanded content.
Oh, absolutely.
So as mentioned before, there was another actor who has made another statement about the James Gunn situation, and that is Glenn Close. And so if you remember, Glenn Close played the
president. Nova Prime.
Yeah,
Nova Prime.
Nova Prime. And her original statement about James Gunn was very short, very PC. It was kind of within a week or two of the incident occurring. And kind of it was neutral, but you could kind of tell she was leaning a little bit into Gunn's favor. She recently had an interview with Empire Magazine, and she has a couple of really
really powerful quotes.
Yeah, powerful quotes coming out of this. So she says it's hard to think of it without him, obviously referring to Guardians of the Galaxy 3 without James Gunn. It's sad, and it brings up, I think, some very tricky issues around this movement. I bring it up with every woman I talk to because I want to know what people feel, you know? Is that truly what we should be doing, especially in this case, someone who's known to ruin people for something that they wrote in a totally different context, what, 10, 12 years ago? What are we going to do? Go back to our past and make sure that everything we said was politically correct? Who can live like that? I just feel like there's something wrong about that. And I think with the movement, my first thought was it's like a Me Too thing, but this doesn't have anything to do with Me Too. I think it's kind of this general movement of like this hypersensitivity to things that are not politically correct and trying to really hang people for that. Although she does specifically mention that she brings it up to women. And we've talked in some other shows, I think particularly like Random Chatter, about the Me Too movement and the certain impacts of it. And obviously we very much support victims being able to speak out and be supported about things. But this is obviously a very different situation. And she references, quote, somebody who's known to ruin people for something. And that being this like very right wing individual who basically started this whole thing against James Gunn and basically set him up and pulled all these tweets up. And you know, she's absolutely right. I mean, we've all made mistakes in the past, whether it's something that we've done or something that we've said, something that we had put in writing in social media or something like that. And I think that one out of, you know, certainly out of context, that's a big issue. When you bring things up out of context, people aren't making educated decisions and observations regarding what these things were that were said or done. And, you know, there also comes a point that, you know, you kind of let go. I mean, the past is the past. We make mistakes. And I think the big thing is if people learn from those mistakes, you know, as we kind of move forward into the future. So she continues on here saying, we're very flawed creatures. Look at what we're doing to our effing world. It was a question I was talking about to someone last night. You have somebody that actually has a creative energy to create something like Guardians of the Galaxy. He's a flawed human being. He was a, you know, we'll summarize here saying jerk back then, and was saying things to provoke people. Does that negate him as an artist? I don't think so. I personally don't think so. Or else we're taking down buildings and paintings. You know, take down all the Picassos because he treated women terribly. If it's going to be a lasting cultural revolution, which is a big change, we've got to take into consideration human nature. And I think basically she just says what the same stuff I said before about, you know, mistakes that we've made in the past and what people have done and said and all that. So there's some real meaningful stuff there.
I listen to a lot of talk radio and podcasts, and there are some that talk about go back to whether you're a fan of his or not. Early 90s, so relatively not that long ago, though some people listening may feel otherwise, just based on their date of birth. But like a shock jock like Howard Stern,
mm-hmm.
things that he said on nationally, you know, not open airwaves radio, FM radio.
Yeah.
There is no way that could be said nowadays.
Right.
And things shift, cultures change. And it's still not an excuse, and James Gunn has owned what he has said. But how many people going back, things that were perfectly acceptable put through a 2018 lens are no longer acceptable? I mean, there's in DC in a couple weeks, there are three comedians, all of who are actually radio DJs, in, you know, various formats, are actually holding a stand-up show where their whole point is each of them has picked someone else in the group and are going back 10 years to read their tweets, their Facebook posts, their MySpace posts, and just looking for, and they're making fun of themselves of things right. That like they said that in 2018, they'd be fired.
Sure.
And they're kind of, while they're making light of it, they're also making a point of things that were said, you can't, you know, take into a light now. And it's, to me, a great, like, kind of expose of, yeah, it was funny then, and it's no excuse, but you also can't be judge, jury, and executioner in the court of public opinion.
Yeah. And, I mean, there's certainly a lot of, you know, holier-than-thou kind of attitudes with this, of people judging things that others have said and done. And obviously, there certainly are extremes of it, of things that 100% are not acceptable. But it's like the people making these accusations, really, you've never done or said anything in your past that shouldn't have been done or said? So, yeah, it's a very unfortunate situation. There's a ton of social commentary on there that we're not going to walk any further down that path, at least right now. But the next item here, because I pretty much every episode have to have an obligatory mention of Ghost Rider and or Moon Knight. Norman Reedus had mentioned, he was asked probably at a con or something, if there was an MCU character that you would play, who would you like it to be? And he came up, interestingly enough, with two very, very different answers. One being Ghost Rider, and the other being Silver Surfer.
No, just stop. Him as Ghost Rider would be amazing.
It would be freaking epic.
Johnny Blaze on the motorcycle.
Yeah.
I mean, even Nick Cage would be excited about that.
Yeah, I mean, like, he would be truly a good throwback to the Johnny Blaze Ghost Rider. You know, a little bit more of a modern edge to it, but still basically the same thing. And, of course, you know, Norman Reedus, so many of us are familiar with him from The Walking Dead. And in The Walking Dead, he very often rides motorcycles, and he's got the long hair, and he's a rebel. He's a bit of a punk, and I just think that matches perfectly. Silver Surfer, I have no idea what brain cell of his that came out of, because that makes no sense at all to me.
Yeah, that one I don't see.
No. But Ghost Rider, I can see Ghost Rider working. And of course, this is just someone being asked the question and giving their answer. There's no indication that Norman Reedus is going to be coming into the MCU or playing these characters or any others. So just, you know, take that for the grain of salt that it is. And we've mentioned a number of stars who have been asked a similar question and, you know, just kind of throwing their answers out there, because it's fun to imagine and speculate a bit. We had today, well, it started last night. Did you see Brie Larson's tweet last night, John? Did you see the genesis of this whole thing?
Tim, is this your way of calling out that I'm not very active on Twitter?
No. Just wondering if you haven't seen it.
No, I did not see it.
So Brie Larson, it was fairly late last night, just put out a tweet saying, hey, at EW, which is Entertainment Weekly, do you want to break the internet tomorrow? So, of course, that got a lot of people excited. I think a lot of us were hoping for a trailer. I know I was, and in fact, I retweeted her tweet and said, would love to see a trailer for Captain Marvel come out here. And they did not, but what they did do, Entertainment Weekly revealed their cover for their newest issue, which is, I think, hitting the stands in like 2 days. And Captain Marvel, played by Brie Larson, is on the cover. Kind of a classic superhero and really a classic Captain Marvel pose on the front. We see the full uniform, all that stuff. And then throughout the day, we've seen some additional pictures that Entertainment Weekly has put out. And these are pictures, like set pictures that are essentially being premiered in Entertainment Weekly. And there's some pretty good pictures. I mean, certainly of her, of Captain Marvel / Carol Danvers. We see one picture that has her and a number of people behind her kind of facing off against Ronan. And there's another picture in there of some Skrulls.
Mm-hmm.
So we are actually... It's definitely confirmed that this is going to have something to do with the Kree-Skrull War, or at least a conflict between the Kree and the Skrull. So that's pretty exciting. I'm glad that we're going to have that. And I think it really adds some interesting depth to what we're going to see, and knowing that we are going to have some things happening on Earth, and we're also going to have some space cosmic kind of things happening.
I was honestly medium excited for this movie. Seeing when I first saw the cover and seeing her in the classic costume,
mm-hmm.
I was like, okay, now I'm good. Like, I'm 100% ready for it. And it's just visually seeing it, and there have been a couple other photos that have kind of leaked, you know, before, the one of her, you know, in the fighter plane. But in the, you know, as you said, the classic pose, you know, the other photos that have, you know, kind of come out, it's getting me really excited for this movie. And how much potential there is. And it's, to me, because they've kind of said in a way this is kicking off like phase four, really kind of that same initial excitement of this is something new, this is something different.
Mm-hmm.
And really excited to see where they're going to take her, kind of hoping that this is kind of the start of the next generation.
Yeah. Yeah, I absolutely agree. And there was another article that there's an article that came out here from comicbook.com citing an interview with Kevin Feige, and he was talking about Captain Marvel and talking about some of their inspirations of it. And really, one of the big inspirations that he cited was Terminator 2, which is interesting. And I think if you remove yourself from what we all initially imagine or know in our heads, the things that we picture that are associated with Terminator 2, but Terminator 2 is good 90s sci-fi. And I think that's really what Feige was getting to when he said that Terminator 2 was one of the inspirations. You know, he said it was a partial inspiration, so there were a number of them for Captain Marvel. But T2 is like one of the epitome of great 90s sci-fi.
Oh, yeah.
And so I think knowing that and having that as an inspiration to Captain Marvel is a further encouraging thing. Again, you have to take yourself out of the context of, yeah, but Terminator 2 is about a robot, a time-traveling robot. And No. Just scratch that. Just bigger picture, conceptually, what Terminator 2 represents. And that makes things even more exciting, at least to me.
Yeah.
So we have just about 6 months until Captain Marvel comes out. It's like 6 months and a couple days. So this is, it's a wait. And realizing that it is 6 months away, I guess we're hopefully going to see a teaser soon, maybe. I mean, I guess there's probably a good opportunity for them to do a teaser, maybe at New York City Comic Con, which is at the end of this month.
Can I ask a stupid question?
Go ahead.
When is the first Monday Night Football game? Unless it's already happened. Folks, I'm not a football fan. If you couldn't guess.
A week and a half from now, I think.
Okay. I'm just, the reason I bring it up is because they have made ties to Monday Night Football in the past, have they not? With other trailers, teasers for, you know, I think more for Star Wars, maybe? I feel like they've done Monday Night Football.
Yes, before. Very much for Star Wars. I don't think the MCU has ever dropped specifically any of their trailers during Monday Night Football. The thing there being that Disney owns ESPN, and, you know, that's specifically why they do it. So,
and Disney owns the MCU.
Yeah. I mean, they could. They could. Usually when they do something like that, you know, they kind of they put it out on the interwebs a day or two ahead of time.
Yeah, I'm just thinking, I agree with you. New York Comic Con would be great. I think I'm just looking at other kind of events to kind of tie it to.
Yeah. And New York City Comic Con is like just now starting to reveal their agenda, their panels and such. So I haven't been keeping a strong track of it because I'm not attending this year. But certainly I think if there is going to be a big MCU panel that they've announced, I would have heard about it. And I have not as of yet. So again, they very well could. And it would be a great opportunity for them to do so. But there's been a lot of things like, you know, I was pushing heavily for the Solo trailer to come out at New York City Comic Con, and they chose not to. They don't necessarily listen to me, but, you know, that's that. Not a lot of people do.
We don't know if they were one of the people who gave us 5 stars but didn't leave a comment.
Maybe. Maybe. Yeah. Okay. You know, we'll see. So onto Sony, onto the Spider-Verse side of things here. There was an interesting article that came out here. It was put out by The Observer, And the title of it is, "So is Venom part of the Marvel Universe or not?" And as we've reported before, it absolutely is not. And of course, they kind of cite some different occasions where people have misspoke, saying that, like, the Venom producer, Amy Pascal, in the past saying that the movie would be a quote, an adjunct to the MCU and exist in the same reality. And it's not. I mean, there's people since then have been flat out denying that and saying, no, it's an interesting thing where Spider-Man exists in the MCU and Venom exists within Spider-Man's reality, but Venom does not exist in the MCU. So if you think of it as like a Venn diagram, you know, the overlapping circles, that's really where it is. Spider-Man is in the middle having that overlap, but Venom and the MCU are actually not together. There's no connection there, at least right now. I mean, there is no, as Kevin Feige did say last year, he said, for now, there is no plan for Venom in the MCU. It's a Sony project, and it is not connected to the Marvel world. So, I mean, that's that.
Seems pretty definitive.
Yeah, I really think it is. So, I mean, despite the fact that there still seems to be some things that come up now and again, and I think it's really a lot of people digging up, like, old tweets or seeing old tweets or press releases or interviews or something that, like, oh, Venom might be part of the MCU. It's not. It's not. Just chill. Calm down.
We're soon going to have a plethora of new characters to add to the MCU. Chill on Venom.
Well, I'm personally not going to chill on. I mean, I'll chill on Venom with the whole MCU thing. But as a general statement, I'm not chilling on Venom because it comes out exactly a month from now.
Oh, no. And yes, on chill on the MCU, don't chill on wanting to go see it. Because jumping ahead a little bit, the Eminem Venom song.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I've always liked Eminem.
Oh, so do I.
You know,
and I'm generally not a fan of rap, but Eminem, like, he's a genius. The things that he does with mm-hmm. music and lyrics, and I know some people don't like him for different reasons, and I'm not necessarily disagreeing with those things, but I think he's a brilliant artist. And I mean, go ahead with where you were taking this, John.
Oh, listening to the song, watching the video, it made me either want to run out and go see the movie or go to the gym. It was very like, you know, kind of, get your mojo going, song. So,
yeah,
you know, I know there's speculation of, is this just a song? Is he scoring the entire movie?
Mm-hmm.
Which I think I would actually be excited for him to score the whole movie. I think that'd be a very interesting kind of approach for them to take. And I think his style, you know, the darkness, the grittiness mm-hmm. lends well to the Venom movie. So I'd be very supportive of that and giving him that chance.
Yeah, I completely agree there. Eminem's stuff is edgy. And from what we've seen from the couple of Venom trailers, I mean, this is an edgy movie. This is a dark movie. And I think it works very well. So I love it. And yeah, Eminem routinely makes it into the rotation of my gym playlist. Because his, like, such a great beat to so many yeah. of his songs. And you can, it makes you work out harder and faster. And it's awesome. So.
Do you know that Eminem is part of maybe not the MCU, but part of the Marvel Universe?
Really?
He has teamed up with the Punisher before in the comics.
No.
Yes.
I did not know this.
Yeah.
Huh.
I mean, this was years ago at the height of his popularity, but yes, he guested in a Punisher episode. in the comics.
Was it like a one-shot, or it was actually part of the mainstream Punisher comic?
I don't recall, because I wasn't a Punisher comic fan. And this was, I read this a couple weeks ago when him tied to the Venom movie first came up. Huh. And, you know, there was a reference to him being in the Punisher and them doing some Punisher-like things to bad guys.
Huh. Well, that's cool. I did not know that. So good fun fact there, John. Thank you. Let's see. Speaking of Spider-Man has or will be apparently shooting in the Czech Republic later this month. They're going to be shooting in Prague and a couple of other areas around there. So they are actively filming. This is Spider-Man Far From Home. And since we've been talking about some release dates here, we're at 9-10 months until that comes out, because that's going to be July 5th, 2019. So it's we know that some of this movie is going to be set in Europe. We don't know where. And of course, just because they're filming in the Czech Republic doesn't mean they're going to be setting any of the movie in the Czech Republic. Because, I mean, we know very often they will film in a place, but they call it some other location once it's actually in the movie. So I'm not sure, but I think this should be. I'm looking forward to this movie too. I think it's going to be very different. Kevin Feige says this is going to serve as a palate cleanser after Avengers 4.
Okay, I have a hard time, and I did in Homecoming as well. I have a hard time Spider-Man not being in New York City.
Yeah,
and in Civil War, it made sense. Obviously, in Infinity War, it made sense. Homecoming, okay.
You're just upset because he was in your city and no one told you about it.
Yeah, but I knew about Wonder Woman.
That's true.
And I did try to get on set, but that didn't really work
that's
out.
That's a different podcast, John.
That's a different podcast. So, yeah, I mean, I'm going to go see it. I like Tom Holland in it. I'm looking forward to the movie. It just every time they talk about him not being in New York City, I'm like, but he's the friendly neighborhood spider. He's not the friendly international neighborhood spider.
Yeah, it's an interesting thing that they do keep pulling him out of New York City. And traditionally in the comics, he's been a New York City-based character. Now, it's not to say that he hasn't gone elsewhere in the comics, because he certainly has. But in the film, he's spending an awful lot of time outside of New York City. Personally, I'm fine with it. I understand your sentiment, but I don't necessarily have like that connection. I mean, I get the nostalgia to it and understand that the comics really centered him a lot in New York City. But yeah, I'm okay with him venturing elsewhere. It doesn't bother me.
Like I said, I'm going to give it the benefit of the doubt. It'll be cool. I've been to Prague, so it'll be fun to see if I can recognize anything of when they say it is or is not in Prague. And to make that connection back. So maybe I'll go, you know, I didn't get to see him when they filmed at DC, you know, maybe I go international, go to Prague and try to catch it.
There you go.
There you go. Be an extra there.
Well,
my bucket list quest.
It's going to happen later this month. So you probably need to book your flight.
Yeah, probably not going to happen then.
Mm. So on to some other things, a little bit of light discussion on some stuff. We did talk about, I think it was last week, the week before, the number of kills that characters had in MCU films. And that apparently Pepper Potts has the highest number of major character kills, that being two. But there's an article that came out from Digital Spy that has been giving, they in this article, they give a total movie death count across every MCU film. And so let's see, tied for 18th in this is Ant-Man and the Wasp, which of course just came out, and Spider-Man Homecoming, both of which only had two. They were pretty light on the killing.
Yeah,
it does seem low. I mean, we all know that Spider-Man isn't, you know, big himself on killing people. Of course, I think that both of the people who died in Homecoming were at Vulture's hands or one of his cronies. And Ant-Man and the Wasp, I believe, was the same thing, that the people who died were because of the villains in the film. So then tied for 17th place are Iron Man 2 and the first Ant-Man movie. And those are with 12 deaths each. There is a specific shout out here to Ant-Man saying that they did not count the deaths of six flying ants, rest their souls.
I think they were CGI. I think it's okay.
tied for 16th place, or no, I'm sorry, not a tie.
No, straight up, yep.
Yep, sitting at 16th place is Doctor Strange with 16 deaths.
Which is weird, because didn't he take an oath to do no harm?
He did. Again, I don't think he did a lot of the killing. I think a lot of other people actually did it. And they do also say in here, they're not counting all the times that Dormammu wiped out Dr. Strange. because, of course, that was in the last act where Dr. Strange kept on using the eye, the time stone.
The time stone.
To keep resetting time on Dormammu. Yeah. So, 15th place is The Incredible Hulk with a death count of 25. Probably a lot of those are the Hulk.
Now, to me, the most amazing thing, and understanding this is not a visual medium, but the photo of the Hulk from the 2008 movie is just so different than Mark Ruffalo's interpretation. It was just like, whoa, that's dated.
Yeah. Yeah. It's a very different looking Hulk. They've absolutely evolved the Hulk quite a bit here. 14th place is Black Panther with a death count of 36.
And again, when your lead villain's called Killmonger, you'd think that'd be higher.
Yeah. Yeah, you would think. Iron Man 3 with a death count of 76. I think a lot of credit there goes to Extremis from that movie.
Hey, they call out Tony has 14.
That's pretty good. Although I think his were killing the people who were, would you say, infected with Extremis?
Mm-hmm.
Or juiced up with Extremis or something like that. Civil War is 12th with a death count of 80. The first Iron Man movie is 11th with a death count of 85. A lot of folks, I think, in Afghanistan and such. Yeah,
I mean, an active war zone. Yeah. Makes sense.
The first Captain America movie comes in 10th place with 105. It was World War II. So, you know, legit, lots of people die. Age of Ultron comes in 9th place with 157. Again, pretty reasonable. You're lifting an entire city up into the air and pulling it apart. And you have a lot of robots who are bent on destruction. That thing kind of happens.
I do like the call out that half the deaths occurred in the opening scene.
Oh,
that battle scene in the forest.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. The opening attack on the Hydra base. That's interesting. Eighth place, Captain America Winter Soldier with 177. Seventh place is Thor with 223. That's a lot of Asgardian ass kicking. See what
Thor,
I there?
Thor does like to kill. What was his line in Infinity War? He's been been alive for 1,500 years and killed twice as many.
Yeah.
Apparently, just, you know, he might be, you know, look at his movies. He's doing pretty good.
Oh, yeah. Well, and Thor the Dark World comes up next, sixth place with a death count of 331. So we had a lot of dark elves, which were killed in this, and bombs that exploded and that kind of stuff. Fifth place, Guardians of the Galaxy 2 with a death count of 346. The vast majority of those are the people in the spaceships.
The Ravagers.
No, not the Ravagers. The gold-skinned people.
Oh, yeah. Well, did they count? Because they just kind of timed out because they were virtual.
Oh, yeah, yeah. No, you're right. Okay. Yeah.
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 I mean, because this does say that Michael Yondu had 209 of those. That's why I was thinking the Ravagers, when he and, is it Rocket, go on, you know, their exploit through the ship, and he just kills everyone with his arrow.
Oh, yes, yes, yeah, when it was set to the music, and, oh, okay, yes, mm-hmm. Yep, you're absolutely right. You're absolutely right. I forgot about that scene. We're going to go back to Thor now for fourth place. Death count here is 450. Much of that is credited to Hela, who absolutely kicked ass, and, like, she throws spears out of thin air and kills a lot of people with those things. Third place is Avengers with a death count of 1,019. Who in the world counted this? I mean, it's one thing to say that, like, oh, this movie had 12 deaths. This movie had 1,019, really? Wow, okay. But that figure does not include, as they say here, the estimated 75,000 destroyed by Iron Man when he takes out the attacking Chitauri fleet with a nuke. So, fair enough.
Yep.
And apparently, this is one of Hollywood's 10 deadliest movies.
Yeah, I find that hard to believe, but I didn't click the link for that article. So
yeah, I didn't either.
Maybe I'll read it later.
I mean, I'm assuming, like, A New Hope is probably in that also, because, you know, Death Star, planet.
Yeah. Well, do we know the population of Alderaan? Maybe that's an Echo-based discussion.
Yeah, yeah. Wikipedia. Wikipedia is going to have that. Second place here, the first Guardians of the Galaxy movie with a death count of, are you ready? 83,871. Again, who the hell is counting this? Really? I mean, great fun fact, but good God, who's counting these things?
And how many times do you have to watch it?
Oh, really? And then, like, somewhere in there, like, someone walks into the room and you're like, damn it, I lost count. Gotta start over. So it's largely down to the, they estimate 80,000 Nova Corps pilots who laid down their lives in defense of their planet. So I guess if you just start with that 80,000, and 80,000 is a premise, and then you're counting 3,871 other fatalities. Funny, and as they mentioned, it's funny for a lighthearted movie.
Yeah.
And then, of course, first place, no surprise, goes to Infinity War, with the death count being quoted here as, quote, countless billions. There were 1,169 on-screen deaths, which would technically put it behind Guardians of the Galaxy and Avengers. Mm-hmm. But of course, with Thanos, he did that thing. And we had an awful lot of off-screen deaths, with half of all living things in the galaxy going bye-bye.
Yeah. So the population of Alderaan is estimated at 2 billion.
Oh, there you go.
There you go.
Okay.
We don't need no stinking Echo Base.
So real quick, I just kind of want to mention some of the things related to the MCU from last weekend in Dragon Con. I got to sit in on a panel with Benedict Wong and Pom Klementieff. Benedict Wong excuse me. Benedict Wong ironically played Wong in Doctor Strange. And also ironically has the same first name as the lead in that movie. Benedict Wong, Benedict Cumberbatch. And Pom Klementieff plays Mantis. And she is an absolute delight. She's, the actress is adorable. It's kind of funny, like her personality, and of course, like she's not as naive as Mantis, but a lot of her personality is in Mantis. So when, you know, just talking and her way of speaking, her mannerisms, how she carries herself is all kind of very, very similar. And she had talked a little bit about the inspiration for how she would play Mantis, and she really played up the insect part of that. Specifically, she talked about things in Infinity War. It didn't make the cut of the movie, but it was in the cut scene, the deleted scene, on the Guardian ship with a flashing yellow light. And her kind of being drawn to it. And she said, well, that's like how a bug would be. You know, bugs are drawn to lights and they just kind of zone out with them. So that's the thing that went into her head. And during the big fight with Thanos, she said a lot of her like fighting positions and stuff. She said she actually looked up praying mantises and watched endless videos of how praying mantises fought. And, you know, I mean, they're ruthless things. I mean, praying mantises can actually kill birds. And so she watched these videos to see how they fight and what their body positions were in and such, and kind of drew some inspiration from that, which was, I just thought was pretty fascinating. But she's very funny. Just kind of that, like I said, quirky personality. And a very interesting accent, because she's obviously Asian, but she was raised in France. So it's,
that's a hell of an accent.
Yeah, it gives her a very interesting accent. And of course, her English is fantastic. There's no problems with her English. But someone had asked her a question about some recent films that she had done. And so she's mentioning those films, and one of them had a French director. And of course, she pronounced the director's name like in perfect French, which was great. And then Benedict Wong he was fantastic. During the daytime hours in Dragon Con, they really try to keep the panels at like a PG level. I don't know if Benedict was not familiar with this rule or didn't care. Not that he was extraordinarily foul-mouthed, but he did drop a couple of F-bombs and a couple of other things here and there. But like they were in the context of humor. So it was really funny. And, you know, he was just kind of talking about his parts, even though they were small parts, but really enjoying doing them, both in Doctor Strange and in Infinity War. And, you know, he had some pretty good stories from it. So they were both fantastic. Of course, there were no big reveals about what's going to happen in Avengers 4 or any of that kind of stuff. I did also sit in on a panel for Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D., which featured Daichin Lockman, who played Jiaying. And this is going back, I think, two seasons. And Jiaying is they had killed her off, so she's no longer with the show. And then Max Osinski, who plays a current character, although he's a minor character in the show, Agent Davis. Interestingly enough, Daichin Lockman and Max Osinski are married. So it's very convenient for them to both show up at the same time. Yeah. And they were great to talk to. I mean, again, Max Osinski being a current character was, you know, really able to talk about kind of some more current things going on in S.H.I.E.L.D. Of course, S.H.I.E.L.D. is filming their next season right now, so he was not revealing anything about this upcoming season, except, of course, to say that he was really excited for it and excited for everyone to be seeing it once it finally came out. They did talk a little bit kind of about the dance that Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. has to do in regard to the rest of the MCU, where they kind of acknowledge the major events that are revealed in the films, but there does have to be a lot of communication between the Whedons, who are the EPs, the executive producers on Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D., and Kevin Feige and the rest of the creative team with Marvel, who are focused on the films, to make sure that they're kind of not stepping on each other's toes. And of course, the films take priority in all of that. So there are things that the Whedons have wanted to do with S.H.I.E.L.D. that they were told, no, you can't play with that character. You can't play with that storyline. We either are going to be doing that in a film, or we are reserving the right to do that in a future film. Or that comes too close to something that we are doing or planning on doing or something like that.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, really interesting. Dyche Lockman is, God, she's gorgeous. And she was wonderful on the panel. And she has a great career doing a lot of other things. She was in the first season of Altered Carbon. She's been in a number of other series and films. And she was great enough to talk about kind of her whole portfolio of things. I actually did get a chance to ask her a question in the panel. And my question to her was, are you going to be is your character coming back in Altered Carbon season two? And for anyone who, if you watch Altered Carbon, you know that her character does get killed off in the end. If you haven't seen Altered Carbon, I don't think I really spoiled anything by telling you that, because the whole thing is so freaking cerebral. I mean, I need to go back and watch it, because it's like that deep. It's hugely, hugely deep. And the thing about Altered Carbon is that people can come back to life because their souls are essentially digitized. And that's much of the premise of the show. John, have you seen any of Altered Carbon?
Oh, I loved it.
Yeah.
I thought it was fantastic. So
yeah, it's on Netflix. It's oh my God. It's just so deep. It is some of the finest sci-fi ever created. Truly.
And I was on random chatter, I think, when we talked about this. Is Anthony Mackie, is he going to be on it next season, or is he going to be on something else?
He's taking the role of the lead character in season two. So yeah, that's a good point. That's kind of that's an MCU tie there with Anthony Mackie coming in. So yeah, that's just, it's awesome. It's awesome. So yeah, definitely, folks, if you haven't watched Altered Carbon, add that to your Netflix list and give that a watch. I also sat in on a Black Panther panel, which was interesting. It was mostly focused on the comic book creatives that had been and still are involved with Black Panther and different iterations of Black Panther. And talking about their own personal histories and their personal connections with Black Panther, and then how they got into doing comic stuff and how they eventually got connected to working on Black Panther, either as a writer or as an artist to some extent. And then some of them actually kind of had some direct or indirect relationship to the creation of the movie. Some of them, you know, characters that they had created many years ago were very surprised to find their characters being featured in the film. Certainly as like so much of Wakanda was shown in the Black Panther film, and kind of the leaders of these different clans and such that comprised Wakanda and had their different groups of power and such were discussed in there. And so these folks were brought into the film, and they talked about how much of an impact Black Panther had and how much of a of cultural importance it is. And the vast majority of the folks who were on this panel were Black, and they talked about as kids, well, yeah, you know, I was really into Spider-Man, or I was really into Captain America. But aside from Power Man, Luke Cage, there really was no other Black comic book character to kind of relate to. And while Luke Cage, many of them said, you know, great character, really cool, but Luke Cage never really did much. They kept him very grounded. And Black Panther was really very much an inspiration for them, because he was an Avenger. Black Panther could go toe to toe with not only different villains, but Black Panther sometimes became an anti-villain, and because of his moral stance, ended up going toe to toe with other heroes and had actually defeated the Fantastic Four at one point, all of them. And so, like, you know, really powerful, great character, and he was the king of Wakanda. So a lot of them talked about the inspiration that that character provided, not only for them, but for a lot of other people culturally, and that importance to it, which was great. It was, that was a fascinating panel. That was one of those, and I think there were five or six panelists that were on there, and just the dialogue that they had and the information that they were giving. If that panel went 2 hours, I would have loved it. I would have loved to just sit there.
Awesome.
And hear them talk about it. It was really cool. Very, very insightful.
And it's nice that when the next generation sits at a panel like that 15, 20 years from now,
yeah,
it's going to be different. They're going to have the ability to have seen some of the diversity in, you know, both the comics, the TV shows, and the movies,
mm-hmm.
That quite honestly truly represent what is America.
Yeah.
And it's great that they will have that, and they will be the ones that the next generation is talking about.
Yeah. 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 I totally agree. Totally agree with that. And then of course there was a ton of incredible cosplay. I took a fair amount of pictures. So if you haven't checked out Random Chatter's Instagram account, I kind of just took over running the Instagram account for 4 days.
It was great. Tim, you did
Thank
a
you.
Fantastic job of throwing up some great photos and really kind of highlighting the panels, the cosplay that you saw, for some reason, some of your travel adventures. I think there was one or two photos of like food or drink in there. So
there might have been.
That's fine.
There was not as much food as I would have liked, but there was a lot of alcohol. Yeah.
Yeah.
That's a great thing about Dragon Con. And for folks interested in hearing more about Dragon Con, we're going to talk about it some in our next episode of Echo Base. We're actually going to have Tom on. Tom is my co-host over on Dispatches from the Front. Tom is a huge, huge Star Wars fan, and he was both on as a panelist a number of panels and also moderated a number of panels. So he spent almost his entire con in the Star Wars track. And so we're going to kind of pick his brain there. And I think we will also, Tom and I want to do, I think maybe as a Patreon exclusive, we'll have a discussion about Dragon Con itself and kind of our broad-based opinions and thoughts on Dragon Con and how it's run and how it's structured and that kind of stuff, and do a little bit of compare and contrast to other conventions that folks might be familiar with. So, yeah, look out for that in the coming weeks. We'll have some good commentary there. So the last thing we have here, John, I don't know if you kind of want to give some summary here on this, but to basically set it up, if folks remember a few episodes back, John and I had our discussion on the passing of the mantle in the MCU films. And we talked about Captain America And we also talked about Iron Man, and I think may have even done this on a couple of occasions. And we had actually some really good and thoughtful and insightful feedback from David, who is in our Discord community, and took some time to really like kind of take this stuff in from the things that we said and write out a lot of comments here. And initially, I kind of did a copy and paste of his stuff into our show notes, and then I condensed some of it down. I don't think still we're going to read it word for word, but I think summarized some of his concepts here, which were good. So, John, do you want to talk to this some?
Yeah, I mean, and you, Tim, you've kind of broken up into, you know, a couple different sections. And, you know, the first one is talking about, you know, the passing of the mantle, as Tim said, between, you know, for Captain America, and his thoughts on Bucky taking up the mantle. And, you know, I agree with him, you know, in the first sentence you've got summarized here is, and he says, I feel the only reason that Bucky took up the mantle in the comics was because it was a Captain America comic. Which is a good point. You can't have a Captain America comic without Captain America. And, you know, without there being a need for a comic, do they need to pass the mantle? Do they need to, you know, recast? And he gives kind of, he goes into both of them. And, you know, I see his point where it'd be harder to recast someone like Robert Downey Jr. as Tony Stark. But not to take anything away from Chris Evans, it's maybe a little bit easier to do so. And I see his point. I want to agree. I really do, because we've seen it with Bond. We've seen it with Batman. We've seen it with Superman. We've seen it we've seen it with Bruce Banner. So it certainly... It certainly can. I felt like I was just throwing out DCU examples. I was like, there's got to be freaking Marvel one somewhere. You know, and I could see how that would work. I'm still more of the, when it comes to someone like, you know, Captain America, and he makes some points of, you know, it's what makes the man of Captain America, and, you know, just someone picking up the mantle doesn't necessarily have those qualities for it. And when Tim and I had the back and forth about, you know, who should pick up the mantle, I think we both agreed with, you know, that Bucky wasn't up to it. I mean, he didn't have that moral code. He didn't have the redemption yet. And I think in hindsight, and reading some of David's comments and going to Tim and I's new theory on the passing of the mantle to Shuri for Iron Man, I think what it comes down to is, I just want a passing of the mantle story. And I think when I reread David's comments, to me, that was okay. I was trying to pigeonhole too much comic into it. I like that level of story. And I really hadn't thought about it because I was so excited that we created a new passing of the mantle story. So, you know, I think I would be okay with a recasting. I think they need Captain America, not because you know, there's to the original point, I mean, there was a comic they needed a Captain America for that. I just feel that he is such an iconic character.
Well, and that was one of David's big points, was that, you know, in the comics, you have a Captain America comic. And if you kill off Captain America, well, someone else needs to become Captain America if you're going to continue having a Captain America comic.
Yeah,
and the MCU, if you do kill off Captain America for whatever reason, and that may very well be because, well, our Captain America actor's contract has expired and we can viably move on with other stories, then we don't really have to directly replace, i.e., or a.k.a. pass the mantle of Captain America. We have someone else who is a reasonable analog for that, and maybe that's Captain Marvel. Maybe that's going to be someone else who is going to fulfill that role of leadership and moral compass and that kind of stuff as this whole team continues to change with characters coming, going out and characters coming in and that kind of thing.
The thing, and I completely agree. And the, honestly, one of the things that struck me, and go back and look at the Brie Larson Entertainment Weekly cover photo. The first thing that struck me about her pose, the design of the costume, the way they did the kind of the gold next to her symbol, It really reminded me of Captain America's Winter Soldier uniform.
Yeah.
Just a lot of blue, the angle of the gold reminded me the angle of the white, You know, the centerpiece. You know, it's a gold star as opposed to the, you know, 5-point white star.
Yep.
It really rung of Captain America to me. And that was one of the things that made me excited when I talked about it before, is when I saw that, to me it screamed, that's a leader.
Yeah.
And I could see, you know, and if that's how they're going to do it, maybe they don't need a Captain America.
Yeah.
And, you know, we haven't explored, you know, too much into the multiverse in the MCU. And maybe they go through Phase 4 without a Captain America. Maybe they leave it ambiguous at best about what happens to Cap. Maybe he rides off in the sunset. Maybe his location is unknown. So that, you know, they have the ability to recast, go through the multiverse, someone else pick up the mantle. They have the ability to bring him back if they want. Quite honestly, just like the comics, where characters die all the time and come back. I mean, Cap's died, come back. Wolverine died, and now he's back.
Yeah.
So, I mean, you know, death is not death in this world. Well, the MCU world, not this world. So, I mean, I think that I'd be perfectly okay with a Brie Larson, a Captain Marvel, them making her that leadership role, because I do think recast, passing the mantle, maybe if you do have someone as Captain America, that mantle's not, the leadership mantle won't pass to somebody else.
Yeah. Yeah. So it may not be that character, but the purpose of that character.
The moral compass.
Yeah. So, no, I think David brought up a lot of real good points here. You know, I think to an extent John and I were kind of married to the ideas that came from the comic books that we have to.
Oh, I was.
Yeah, that we kind of have to have these characters continue on, which still might happen. But as David mentions, it doesn't necessarily have to. We don't need to have a Captain America. We don't need to have an Iron Man. We really just have to have characters that take on, to an extent, those particular roles or personalities and traits that they bring to the team. because that's what provides us with that team dynamic, which is both good and bad. I mean, it's some of it causes friction. Mm-hmm. You know, when you have characters with big egos, that tends to cause friction. You have characters who, like a Tony Stark, who is trying to do the best thing, but the way that he goes about it, i.e. the Ultron project, mm-hmm. you know, kind of mucks things up. So, you know, we'll see. So, David, thank you for that. And I think there are some really good points there. But with that, we are just about at an hour and a half here with our show. So we're going to close things out until next week. Thank you again, folks, for listening. Certainly, please send us your feedback. You can email us at guardians@randomchatter.com. And, of course, you can catch John, Liz, and myself on Discord individually, as well as in our Guardians of the MCU show channel. You can find us online in a variety of places. Twitter is a great place for it. You can reach us as well as the entire network on Twitter at Random Chatter. You can find Liz on Twitter at Nerd in the City. John, where can we find you?
You can find me at Podcaster Supreme.
And you can
I've given up on the last day. It's gone.
And you can find me on Twitter at Qui-Gon Tim. That's Tim with two M's. As mentioned earlier, you can find us on Instagram, which is the handle there is Random Chatter. And of course, check out all of our shows and other information, some occasional blogs and listener polls over at randomchatter.com.
So we started the episode with thanking the reviews that we've gotten so far. Please continue to leave them. We don't have another raffle at the moment to give something away, but that doesn't mean you need a raffle to leave any of them. And if you left any reviews on something other than iTunes, whether it's Stitcher, Google Play, TuneIn, wherever you get your podcasts from, we apologize and we'll figure out a way to be able to better monitor those as well, to be able to give some shout outs to people who leave them there too, so that we're not just being Apple snobs. but please continue to also tell your friends about the podcast and the network. Was at my kid's martial arts studio today and two people having a Marvel conversation and corrected what they were saying. And they said, how do you know so much? And I was like, well, funny you should ask. I co-host a podcast on this. And they seemed excited. And they wrote down the name of the podcast. So you never know where you're going to be able to spread the word. Tim has, you know, talked a little bit about Patreon. That is the best way to support the show for little as a dollar a month. You get access to all of our Discord channels. You've heard us talk about Discord in the past. The more you give on Patreon, the more bonus content you get, whether it's bonus segments like what Tim and I recorded earlier, or things like recaps about, you know, cons that, you know, different people go to. Do find us over on Discord, randomchatter.com/Discord. All of these shows on the network, those channels are open for free. And that extra dollar a month gets you access to all of the other channels where we literally talk about everything and anything. And as we pointed out with David, it's a great community to really kind of interact with, have some good discussions back and forth. And, you know, again, as shown by David, sometimes stuff will pop up, you know, within Discord that we'll pull right in and add as a discussion into the show. So please continue to support any way possible.
Yeah, we greatly appreciate it. And thanks again to the folks who left us reviews. That was fantastic. And gosh, just continue doing so, please. It helps us out quite a bit. And it's just great to see all those awesome comments. So thank you for all that. And we'll catch you again in about a week.